But I'm Stuart Scott. I teach down at Southern Seminary. I've been there for almost 7 years now. And a beautiful wife, a blessed wife, Zandra. When I wrote the book, Exemplary Husband, it was not an autobiography. Please do not believe that. But it's the standard in which we are trying to attain to be more like Christ. Two children, two adult children, two grandchildren. And I'll tell a little bit here after our prayer, as far as a little journey here of how I even got to this topic. So let's open in prayer and ask God for his blessing. Father, we do come before you, and we want to humble ourselves before you. You are a mighty and loving and holy God. Thank you for your salvation through Christ. What a blessing it is, not just to be saved, but all of the blessings that we have in Christ. Heaven and eternity. Lord, we do ask for your added grace. It's been a long day, a lot of truth that we have heard. Help us not to be hearers only, but doers of what we hear, to assimilate it, to meditate on it into application. May we be motivated again by your love for us. And Lord, may we continue to walk faithfully with you and abide in you. We pray your blessing now for this hour, in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, just a little bit of a testimony to let you know how I even started looking at this topic. I mean, you run across it every time you read the scriptures, pride and humility, but as far as a more concentrated look at it, growing up in the home where I did, and my parents were believers, four boys, and I was the third of the four, and I didn't say a whole lot. I was very quiet. At that time, I was called timid, shy. It was before the terms came out, introverted, low self-esteem, all that kind of thing. That came out later. So I just didn't say a whole lot. God graced me with salvation when I was 18, made numerous professions of faith before then, but kept living for myself. But at 18, God graced me in this repentance and faith and a turn and wanting to live for Christ. And I thought, wow, this is a big juncture in my life at 18. Do I go to school? What do I do? What, Lord, what do you want? And I got involved in some mystical practices trying to figure out God's will rather than just read it. God has revealed what he wants us to know and use the principles and commands. And I didn't know that. I was listening to stories, and I thought, well, I know what I want to do. I like the outdoors, so maybe I'll go into forestry for the Lord. You know, I'll help with general revelation. Forestry, maybe I could get a job of sitting up in the tower and watch for smoke and be away from people. Because I was uncomfortable around people anyway. I thought, that's sort of what I'm thinking about doing, but a college education might be helpful. My dad taught at the college, so I had a free ride there, and I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and do that. And the more I was learning the Bible, the more I developed a real heart for discipleship and caring for people and realizing only two things last for eternity here on earth, and that's the Bible and people's souls, not the trees. So I started going towards more Bible courses, Bible education, but I didn't want seminary because I'd have to stand up in a homiletics class and preach, and I didn't want to speak in front of people. So I tried to avoid all of those kind of things, took all the tests on spiritual giftedness, and found out I had, on the test, the gift of helps. Nothing about speaking because in my pride and in my sin, I didn't check anything that said, do you like speaking in front of people? No. Do you want to speak? No. Do you want? So all those gifted tests really don't tell you where you're gifted. You really have to serve in humility in a church and find out where God's gifted you. But went on to seminary to learn more of the Bible and to help God's people in more of a discipleship fashion. And it was my first semester there that we had homiletics. You had to speak in front of people. I was in torture. I couldn't sleep the night before, couldn't eat the morning of. And you preach in front of, in this case, about 10 guys. Some of you might know Tim Pasma. He was in there. They all have forms. They're all checking off what you're doing wrong. And it's only 10 minutes, but it might as well have been an eternity. And I got up and to speak, and I just had every Tourette's issue you can imagine. I was scratching, itching, sweating. Everything you're not supposed to do, they were all checking. And I saw them checking. That made me even worse. And 10 minutes, any time after 10 minutes, your grade starts being docked. So you watch that clock in the back. Now, it doesn't work here, so just in case some of you are looking. And as soon as it reached 10 minutes, you just close in prayer. You do not keep talking, just for grade-wise. After that first time of speaking, first semester in seminary, the professor came up to me and he said, his name was Dr. George Zemek. He said, Stuart, you don't look very comfortable up there speaking. You're a good observation. He said, what were you thinking about when you were up there? And I said, I was thinking about them. I mean, they're checking things off. And he said, oh. And I was thinking what they were thinking of me and how they view that. And he says, ah. He said, that's just pride. No one had ever said that to me before. He said, you're just thinking of yourself. You need to think about the Lord, His Word, and what people need to hear. And you just study the Word and deliver the Word to people and help them. Get yourself out of the way. That's just pride. I go, man, I've just never heard that before. It really helped several years. It was a 5-year stay there. And then I got married. And I thought, she's bringing me down spiritually because I'm seeing and hearing things come out of me that weren't there. Because before I met my wife, I had all the fruit of the Spirit. I loved myself, kind to myself, gentle with myself. I had them all when I'm single. But now God brings someone in my life and things are coming out. And then I heard this again. She said, honey, something I had said. She said, honey, that sounds arrogant. That's pride. That's the second time I've heard that. From my professor, now from my wife. Then I went into ministry to pastor a church. And I got involved with this couple. And it was a difficult counseling situation. And I had truth. I didn't have a lot of grace. And I confronted the lady. And she said, you are one arrogant young man. There's the third time I've heard that. And I'm not seeing it. You know, how do they come up with this? And I'm thinking, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, you know, let a matter be confirmed. G.K. Chesterton says, if one calls you a mule, just consider the source. If two call you a mule, look for hoof prints. And if three call you a mule, just get a saddle. And I began to think, I do not see it. I don't understand what people see and why they're calling it pride. And that launched me into this topic. And I want you to see, this is so important, this whole attitude of humility, putting on humility, that the Spirit of God brings it in to almost every hinge in the epistles. You're reading along who we are in Christ, sort of the positional statements, and then it turns, the hinge turns to, now this is how you walk in Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And I just began to see, this is a very important start in your walk. That is the hinge, by the way, of what they call practical doctrine to practical application. Romans chapter 12. And most of us have memorized verses 1 and 2. But look at verse 3. We're right after, be renewed Verse 3 says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment each